We're turning your Bibles to Romans 14. We continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And this is indeed a powerful book written about, AD 57. And it was so these believers, he wrote it to the Romans so that the believers could grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We call this a foundational letter. In fact, I think it is the foundational letter in the New Testament. It helps us as we seek to make an impact for Christ so we can be grounded. Now, we've divided the book into two big sections. If you remember, chapters 1 through 11, doctrine, chapters 12 through 16. Application. Now, let me remind you this. In chapters 1 through 11, we saw this. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, we saw that we're sinners and we need a Savior. Chapters 3 and 4, we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 was the Christian life. And as we looked at that, we saw victory and assurance. And then in chapters 9, 10, 11, we saw Israel, past, present, and future. Then as we moved to the second section, 12 through 16, we saw in chapters 12 and 13 the whole idea of living for Christ and showing love and all of that. And now we've moved to chapters 14 and 15. They go together and they deal with how we live and how we relate to fellow believers. And we're going to see things like stronger and weaker brothers. We're going to see things like judging others and thinking about choices and preferences, doubtful areas, and freedom in the Christian life. This morning and the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at how we are to relate to each other, to choices and the freedom that we have. Now, we realize there's some believers who say, it's okay to do this. And some people say, no, it's not okay to do that. And so there's different views on things. How do we live? How do we relate? May we understand the freedom that we have in Christ as we live in love and freedom with each other. So there's some great things we're going to see in the weeks to come. It's been a number of years ago, and a woman came to see my office. It was long before we had this building, and she came to see me. She did not go to our church, but somebody told her to come see me, so she just came in, and we talked for a while about several issues. And then as time, we got through, and I looked down, and it was a Wednesday night, and it was close to church time. So I looked at her, and I said, why don't you just stay for church? And she said, I can't because I have pants on, and it would be wrong. She said, I can't go to church wearing pants. And then she went on to say, actually, she believed that it was wrong for a woman to wear pants anytime, and that she had done wrong even by coming to the church, by coming into the building wearing pants. You ever heard things like this? I did tell her, I'm just glad she had pants on, and, but... There are issues, lifestyles, things taught by many different Christians and groups and churches. And let me give you some issues. Here's some issues you may not deal with at all. Here's some issues since I've been a Christian. I trusted Christ when I was 19. Since I've been a Christian, these are things that I've heard issues over as a Christian as I've gone through my Christian life. Let me give you some. Movies. Should you go to movies or not? Some people say, don't go to any movies. Some people say, well, go to any movie. Some people say, well, you can't go to an R-rated movie, but maybe okay to go to something else. What about wearing makeup? Now, I don't hear that at all, hardly ever, but there were times that I've dealt with some people, and they say you shouldn't wear makeup, for a woman to wear makeup. I guess it's okay for a man to wear makeup, but not for a woman. And then playing cards. Shouldn't play cards. Or it's okay to play cards. Dancing. For people say, no, you cannot dance. Cannot dance. I one time was interviewed at a church. They were wanting to know if I would be their pastor. And so I was meeting with them, and they said, what kind of things would you do? And I said, what I think might be really neat to do is maybe once a month have like a fellowship supper and things like that. And I said, maybe if there was even a place to swim or something, we could as a church swim and play volleyball. And they said, oh, no, men and women cannot swim together. They can't be in bathing suits together. Now, women could swim with women, men with men, but not together. Now, this might never be an issue for you, but when I lived in Mississippi, in Colstead, Mississippi State, there was an issue sometimes that a Christian shouldn't go into a restaurant that served alcohol. I mean, you could go into a restaurant that didn't serve alcohol, but you couldn't go into a restaurant that served alcohol. Or how about drinking? Could you drink or not drink? Or how about smoking? Can you smoke or not smoke? Or how about music? How about having drums, Because some people say, you can't have drums because that has that beat. You can't have beat in Christian music, not that kind of beat. I've heard people say that. How about clothes and pants and head coverings and which Bible do you use? Or how about, should you send your children to public school? No, send them to Christian schools. No, send them to homeschool them. I mean, what's right? What can you do? we realize that as believers, we have great freedom to make choices, to have convictions, to have preferences. As we look at Romans chapters 14 and 15, these couple of weeks we're going to be going through this, we see Paul deal with these issues of how we as believers are to relate to one another, having different convictions and choices and preferences. Sometimes people call these gray matters and areas of freedom or area of conviction. And as we look at this passage this morning, in fact, as we look at this section, we're going to see Paul deals with what he calls the weaker brother and the stronger brother. In fact, just look quick, briefly at chapter 15, look at verse 1. Look what he says. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those who are without strength. The word without strength means weak. He says there's some strong believers or brothers and weak brothers. What does he mean? How does all this fit? And so as we go through this, we're going to see a number of things. Well, this morning I've got an overhead. I wanted to show you just some things we're going to think about this morning. First of all, we're going to think about some issues of the Christian life. We mentioned some of them. We're going to see some more. And then we're going to talk about and understand convictions and preferences and choices. And then we'll think about our freedom and love for others, because there's an aspect of freedom and love, and it goes together. And then we're going to understand the weaker and stronger brothers. We're going to see how Paul uses it. What's he talking about? Then we'll get some background on this passage, because if you've read the passage, you remember a while ago when I read it, it talked about eating meat or eating vegetables and what is all going on. We need to get the background of the passage. And then briefly, we're going to just, and I mean very briefly, we're going to look at the first 5 verses this morning, go through them briefly, and then we'll come back in more detail a little bit maybe next week and see how all this fits together. Let's start with the whole issue of the Christian life. We, as we begin, realize that believers have many different ways we can view the Christian life, that we can live, what we think we can do or not to do. Now, I want you to understand, we're not talking about biblical commands, the rights and wrongs of the Bible. We're talking about things that we just say we'd like to do, things that aren't even found in the Bible. Look at our passage. Look at chapter 14. Look at verse 2. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Now, there's an issue there. Eat meat or not eat meat. Eat vegetables only or not. But that's an issue. That's a different way to look at things. Look at verse 5. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. See, there's aspects of one person to say, I think I do this. Another person says, well, I think I do this. Well, I think this day, I think this food. I think this. Each person must be convinced in their own mind. And notice verse 6. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who eats does it for the Lord and gives thanks to God. He who does not, he does not eat for the Lord. And he gives thanks to God. Bottom line is, whatever you do, it's for the Lord. You bring glory to Jesus Christ. So we think about the Christian life. The second thing, as I want you to think about as we go through this, is to understand biblical commands, convictions, preferences, and choices. Number one, there are biblical commands. There are rights and wrongs in the Bible. There are things that, based on the Word of God, that you are to do or not to do. And they're found through there, and you know what they are. There are things that says this and things that you say, well, that's a believer. We're supposed to do this. We're not supposed to do this. To disobey those things would be sin. To not do those things would be sin. So there are biblical commands. But then there's other things which we call convictions, preferences, or choices. These are things that we say, I think I will do this, not because the Bible says you must do this, but because based on how you look at the Scripture or based on how you think you're going to live, these are the preferences, choices, or convictions that you have. You have the freedom to do something or the freedom not to do something. We're not dealing with the Bible. We're not dealing with rights and wrongs, but choices, convictions, and preferences. And this deals with so many areas, things like the music you listen to, the things that you see, the TV, the movies, the food, the places you go. Had a person say to me, Christians should only listen to Christian music. That's their preference, their conviction. You may say, I listen to Christian music, but I also like country music, or I like other kind of music. So here's issues, see? So we find out that there are biblical rights and wrongs, and then not dealing with the Scripture, you have freedom and convictions and preferences and choices. That takes us to the third area. We need to understand what I call freedom and love. They go together. We understand that when you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we come to God simply by faith in Christ, and we're saved forever. And the truth is that as we live on this earth, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We're to live by the Word of God. We're to know the truths and principles and the rights and wrongs, and we're to live that way. But at the same time, we also have great freedom and choices, and we're going to see some of these issues and how he deals with it in Romans 14 and 15. And let me tell you, I'm going to call it this way. I'm going to teach you two loves. We call one, two laws. One's called the law of liberty, and the other is called the law of love. Now, a law means a principle. So we're going to talk about the principle of freedom or liberty and the principle of love. So let's start with this. We call it the law of liberty, the law of freedom. As believers, we are free to live as we choose if we're not violating the truths and commands from God's Word. You have freedom to wear the kind of clothes you want, the car, to live where you want to get up when you want to, all kind of freedom to eat certain things. You've got all kind of freedom. We have great freedom to live and enjoy our time on this earth. And as we go through life, we make choices. We have preferences. And the bottom line is, don't violate the Scripture. Other than that, you have great freedom. Galatians says this, so don't use your freedom for sin, but use your freedom to serve other people. That's what he says in Galatians 5:13. Now, that's the law of freedom. There's a second law called the law of love, or the principle of love. And this is how you relate and deal with other people. The bottom line is we're to love God and love others. That's the key. In fact, listen to this. Romans 13, verse 9, at the end of the verse says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of law. So the law of love, bottom line, is that you love God and you love others, and that's how you relate to people. Now, I want you to understand that sometimes and realize that the freedom that we have is based on our love for others. We have freedom to do many things, but because of our love for others, there may be times that even though we have the freedom to do something, we may choose not to do it in order that we don't hurt or bother or confuse another believer because we love them. Based on our love for that person, we may choose not to do something, even though we have the freedom to do it, so that it will not cause them hurt. I'll give you an example. I had a friend, this is a long time ago, and he was going to go speak at a nursing home. You know how sometimes nursing homes say, would somebody from your church come and speak? And so he was going to go speak, and he had some people that were going to sing, and they were going to go sing for the people, and he was going to teach for a little bit. When they got there, they found out they had double booked. There was another church, and there was a guy there, and he had a little singing group. Well, the person at the nursing home said, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't know what to do. And they said, well, look, why don't you sing a song, and then you say something for a little bit, and then this group will sing a song, and this pastor will say something for a little bit. How's that? Well, that was great. So the two pastors were sitting side by side, and as this group got up to sing, my friend holding his Bible, he had a New American Standard, which is a Bible I like. I like a New American Standard. The person next to him said, what kind of Bible is that? I said, oh, that's a New American Standard. I just love it. And he went, there's only one Bible that you can use. The only right Bible is the King James Bible. All the other Bibles have errors all over them, and you can't use that. And my friend was so wise because he has the freedom to use a King James Bible, to use a New American Standard if he wanted to. But because of love, he said, I tell you what, when I get up to speak, can I just use your Bible? Because I love the King James too. That's what freedom is. And love, how they go together. Because you have the freedom to do a lot of things. But it may be in some relationship with someone because of your love for them, you may be willing to give up some of your freedoms in your relationships. As we live our Christian lives, we relate to one another. We have freedom and love, and they go together. That takes us to the fourth thing. Fourth thing is, I call it understanding the weaker and stronger brother. As we go through our lives and as we go through this passage, you realize that believers have a lot of different views on a lot of things. Some people say it's okay to do this. Some people say it's not okay to do this. Some people say, look, I can do this. Some people say, oh, it's sin to do that. Paul describes, and this is how he describes it in this section, he calls two groups. He calls the stronger and the weaker. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. He's talking to a stronger believer because notice what he says. Now accept the one who is weak in faith. That's implying that you are strong in faith. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Look over at chapter 15, verse 1. He says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those who are without strength. And the word without strength means weak. So he's saying there are strong believers, stronger believers is how he says it, or stronger brothers, and there are weaker brothers. we need to understand how he's using it and what he means by that. The best we can tell from Scripture as we look through this is the stronger believer or brother is one who understands the freedom that they have in Christ. They look at God's Word and they say, here are the rights and wrongs, and I'm going to obey the rights and wrongs. But in all these other areas, I have great freedom to do this or to do this. And so the stronger brother is the one who understands the freedom, who might say, I'll eat that or not eat that, or I'll do this or I'll do this. I'll go there or I'll not go there. It's up to me. I have the freedom to do that. The best we can understand that the weaker brother is the one who doesn't understand the freedom that they have. They see things and they say things like, I can't do that, or I'm not supposed to do that. It would be wrong for them to do that. Let me explain something to you. Joseph Stowell, who is the president of Moody Bible Institute, in his book called Fan the Flame, says this. He says, the weaker brother is unable to do with a clear conscience. To that person, it is wrong. If you said, I think I shouldn't do that, I think that's wrong, I'm not able to do that with a clear conscience, then for you, it is wrong. Now, that's the weaker brother. The stronger brother may say, look, it's not found in the Scripture. I see that I've got freedom to do that or not to do that. It's okay. But for the weaker brother, the weaker brother says, I just can't do that. I can't. I think that's wrong. As it says, he can't do it with a clear conscience. Let me give you an example. What if a person said, person over here, the stronger brother says, I think it's okay to dance. But this person over here says, I don't think it's okay to dance. In fact, when I grew up in Mississippi and I started being involved with some churches or being involved with the church, I met people who said any dancing at all is wrong. I know some universities who have, you can't dance on the campus. Okay? They think dancing, that's their conviction to that. And for them, it would be wrong. So if you went to a person and you said, you want to dance? And they said, I can't. And you said, come on, let's dance. Well, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make them sin. Because you're telling them or wanting them to do something that's going to violate what they think is right or wrong. So when we talk about weaker and stronger, the stronger believer is the one who has the understanding of the freedom. The weaker believer is the one who says, there are certain things I can't do them with a clear conscience. I'm not going to do them. And if they do something that they think they're not supposed to do, to them, it is sin. And it is sin. Listen to this. This is Romans 14, verse 23. But the one who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not of faith, and whatever is not of faith is sin. When a person does something that they're convicted that they should not do, even if the Bible doesn't say it's wrong, if they're convicted that it's wrong, if they do it, it's wrong. Okay? So we got stronger and weaker. We've got all this stuff. And so what's the problem? Well, here's a guy who says, I got freedom. I can do this or not do this. You got a person over here who, based on their own convictions and stuff, says, I could do this, but I can't do this. What's the problem? Well, there's not a problem until the stronger believer looks at the weaker believer and says, you could do that. Why don't you grow up and understand you got freedom? Or the weaker believer says, you are wrong by doing that. You know it's wrong, even though it's not in the Scripture. We're going to see this in the passage. So you have problems when the stronger believer looks down. Notice Romans 14, look at verse 3. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. The one who eats is the stronger believer, and he's not to look down on the one who does not eat. And then notice what happens, what the weaker believer could do. The end of verse 3 says, and the one who does not eat is to not to judge the one who eats. It's really called legalism when this one says, I don't think I should do this, and you shouldn't either. So that's where you have the problems. And throughout history, for us Christians, there are a lot of rights and wrongs from the Word, and then there are a lot of freedoms. And we run into problems when the people with freedom look down on the ones who haven't got to the point where they understand freedom, or the people who, by their own convictions, are not going to do these things, but they also think nobody else should do these things. That's where you run into problems. So what should we do? Well, the strong brother who understands freedom must not look down on the weaker brother, must live a life based on love, and it may be that there are many times the stronger believer would not do what they have freedom to do in order not to hurt the weaker believer. And we're going to talk about what does it mean for the cause of the weaker believer to stumble later on. We'll see that as we go through the passage. So the stronger believer is to sometimes, because of the freedom they have in Christ and because of the love for that person, says, I have the freedom to do this, but I'm not going to do it because I know how it will affect this person. From the other side, the weaker believer is not to judge, not to look around and say, you ought to be doing this, and if you don't do this or you do this, you're wrong. They need to say, you know, I don't judge that person. God has already accepted them. And what I say is for the weaker believer to begin to understand freedom. In this room, all of us come from many different backgrounds, different traditions, churches, various teachings, lifestyles, all kinds of things we've been taught. So here's the key, our plan. In the area of the Word of God, let's hold to the Bible and let's live by the truths and the rights and wrongs. In the areas that aren't found in the Scripture and all kind of choices we have, let's live freedom in love. And for the strong, not to show contempt, but to live in love. And for the weak, not to judge or be legalistic. Because the bottom line is the passage, chapter 14, verse 5. Each one must be fully convinced in their own mind. You have the freedom to decide on things that aren't in the Scripture. The rights or wrongs are here, but the things that aren't the rights or wrongs, you have freedom to say, I can do that. Or, based on my convictions, my preferences, my choices, I'm not going to do that. You have great freedom. We're going to see this as we go through 14 and 15 and see that together. Now, let me give you some background on what's happening in this passage. We're only looking at verses 1 through 5 today, but here's what's happened in the church at Rome, and this is why there are issues. Because when I read a while ago, it talked about eating or not eating. It talked about days. What's going on? Well, there were different groups in the church, and just think, you realize this, that we talked about it, we studied the book of Romans already, that those who believed in Jesus Christ, there were people who were Jewish people who believed in Jesus Christ and came out of the Jewish background, and then there were the Gentiles, and some of them came out of pagan backgrounds, and so they've all come together to be in the body of Christ. There seem to be two issues going on in the church at Rome. One is eating meat, we'll talk about why, and the other was observing certain days. See, some would say, you can eat anything. You can eat meat or anything. And then some said, well, certain meat is wrong, so to not take any chances, I'm not going to eat any meat at all. That was one of the issues, and we'll explain why in just a minute. The other one was certain days. Because you remember some of these Jewish people came out of Mosaic Law, and under the Mosaic Law there were certain days set apart. Under the church, it's not that way. And so some of those would probably have problems and say, you know, you need to set this day apart. And some of the Gentiles might say, all days are set apart. All days are special. We're not going to pick one and put it above the other. So they were having conflict in the church at Rome. Let me explain to you this meat offered to idols, or this meat thing, what's going on. In that day and time, especially in Rome or in Corinth, there were many false gods and pagan things, and so this person might be an unbeliever, and they believed in some god of the river or something, so they would go and they would kill an animal, take that meat, and offer it to an idol. After it had been offered to the idol for a short time, that meat would then be taken and sold in the marketplace for a reduced price. It was the best meat because the person who was going to offer a sacrifice to the idol was going to pick a good piece of meat. So they picked a good piece of meat, and so it became in the marketplace, cheap price, good meat. Some believers in Rome would say, get out of the market because you can get you a real good piece of meat for a low price. It's one of those meats been offered to idols. And we know there is no such thing as an idol or a god. There's only one true God. So get some good meat. There were other believers who said, no, you can't eat anything offered to an idol. Why would you even touch anything like that? In fact, I don't know what meat has been offered to an idol, so I'm never going to take a chance. I'm not going to eat any meat. So you got some believers who said, I got the freedom to eat any meat because there's no such thing as an idol anyway. No such thing as a false as a god. There's only one God. But the others would say, you know, I'm not going to take any chances. I'm not going to eat any meat. That was their issue. And of course, the days that we talked all about a while ago, some Jewish people might say, you better mark out one day above the rest, because under their tradition, you work 6 days and rest on the seventh. I never went to church. My mother, we never went to church, but my mother told me when I was a little boy that it's probably better that you don't play ball on Sunday. I mean, just don't, you know, you're not supposed to do very much on Sunday. That's what she taught me. A lot of people thought that, and they would say things like, you need to keep the Sabbath holy. But Sunday's not the Sabbath, by the way. Saturday is. So there's a lot of confusion. And so there were some people who would say, you shouldn't do anything on this day, or you should do that. And it was happening even in Rome. You know what you have to remember, as Paul says in verse 5, each person need to be convinced in their own mind. Now, what is the problem? Is the problem when the freedom people, the strong, looks down on those, or when the weak judge the strong? So let's quickly look at these verses and get the flow, and you'll see it, and then we'll go in more detail next time. Look what he says. He is writing to the strong first. Notice what he says. Now accept those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. He's talking to the strong believer, and he says, accept the one who is weak in faith. He says, now you're strong, you got freedom, you understand your freedom, but this person doesn't. So accept that person. That means understand who they are and love them the way they are. Understand this. Notice he says, not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. He didn't say biblical truths. He said his opinions. He says, you look at that person and accept them where they are. There are people that sometimes believe things differently than you do as far as convictions. And you may look at them and go, why do they hold to that? You need to accept them and realize that's their preference, that's where they are. They may think this is wrong, even though you look at the Bible and say there's not one thing in the Bible that even talks about this. And you know your freedom. They may not understand it, so he says, accept them, love them. He goes on and uses the example that was going on in the church at Rome. One person has faith that he may eat all things. That's the strong believer. Eat anything you want. The other, who is weak, that's the weak believer, eats vegetables only. He says, I'm not taking any chances. I'm not going to eat any of that meat that could have been offered to an idol. So how do we relate? Look at verse 3. The one who eats, that's the strong one, is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. The believer who understands freedom is not to look down at that one and say, just grow up. It's not even in the scripture. You can't do that. He says, don't look at contempt with those, and then look at the other. And the one who does not eat, that's the weaker believer, is not to judge the one who eats. The weaker believer is not to look around and say, you're wrong by doing that. Because it's not wrong. It's a choice. It's a conviction. It's a freedom. And then notice, why is that person not to judge him? Because God has accepted him. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more later about the freedom and the love and how that fits. But notice verse 4, because here's this key. He goes and says, who are you to judge a servant of another? Who are you to judge somebody else because they're a servant of someone else? Who are they a servant of? A servant of Jesus Christ. Notice, to his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. He says, it's not our responsibility as the stronger brother who has freedom to look down the weaker brother and judge them. And it's not the responsibility of the weaker brother who has these certain convictions and look over at the stronger brother and judge them. They have to stand before God. That's their one. He says, and the Lord will make him stand, for the Lord is able to do that. And then he gives the second thing. He says, you know, one person regards one day above another, but another regards all days the same. And then here's his key. Each person must be fully convinced in your own mind. Each one of us are going to have to stand before our Savior. Each one of us have to decide what issues we think that we live by that aren't found in the Scripture. And remember, we're not dealing with the rights or wrongs from the Bible. We're dealing with what some call the doubtful areas, meaning the areas that aren't even listed, the areas of freedom, the areas of choice and conviction, and that we just say, well, you know, for me, this is the thing. Let me give you an example. See, I have as my conviction, this is just me. If I'm going to be up here on a Sunday morning, I'm going to wear a coat and tie. That's just me. I mean, my generation wore coats and ties. Okay? And then I think, I feel my conviction is being up here, I'm going to wear that. You have the freedom to not wear a coat and tie, guys. In fact, very few people do. Now, where it would be wrong is if I said, my conviction is coats and ties, and all you men, you need to start wearing coats and ties. Don't you think it's Sunday morning we should wear coats and ties? I'm wrong for that. And then the one who has the freedom, a different conviction than me, might be wrong to say, JB, you need to quit wearing a coat and tie. Well, I don't want to. I like it. I quit wearing it on Sunday night. But see how it goes. And so what we got to do is have this freedom and relate to each other. The freedom that we have in Christ. What have we seen? As believers, we have freedom in Christ. There are strong and weak brothers. We're to live in love, not showing contempt or judging. Each person will stand before their Savior, and each person must be convinced in their own mind. So let me give you some applications just for to think about, okay? Here's the first one. In our freedom, let us live in love for one another. I mean, that is the key. We have freedom, but how do we live? We live by showing love one to another. That's the key. We love God and we love others. As we relate to each other, love is the key because we have great freedom, but it's always tempered by the love that we have for someone else. So, A, understand the term strong and weak believers. Understand what it means. The strong believer is the one who understands the freedom. The weak believer is the one who doesn't really have the freedom that they've come up with, and they, in their convictions, they couldn't do something with a clear conscience. So there's the strong and the weak. So understand how that fits. Both of them have freedom to do whatever they want. The free guy has, the strong believer says, I have freedom to do this or not do this. This one person says, oh, I have freedom to say, I'm not going to do this. So you got freedom. B, each person must be convinced in their own mind. You got to be convinced in your own mind. What are going to be your convictions? You may say, this is the Bible for me. Yeah, somebody else can have another Bible, but this is the Bible for me. Or this is how I'm going to dress. Or this is the movies I choose to go to or not go to. This is this. You must be convinced in your own mind on how you choose to live. You've got great freedom. Each believer must be fully convinced. See, for the strong, not showing contempt of the weak. The person who has who understands the freedom they have in Christ, you're not to look down on that one who hadn't come that way yet or has different convictions than you do. You can't look at them and say, boy, you an idiot. Don't you understand you got freedom in this stuff? Why don't you come with me to this and do that? Don't do that. Each person must be fully convinced in their own mind. The strong is not to show contempt for the weak. And then D, the weak is not to judge the strong. Not to have what we have often heard in our lives, legalistic lifestyle, where they come up with a set of rules that aren't biblical and demand that everyone follow their rules. If you got rules for yourself, that's up to you. If they're not biblical. Okay? You can say, this for me, this is my preference. But don't push that on someone else. The bottom line is we live in freedom and love. And let me just say this. As you understand your freedom, you have the responsibility, because of your love for God and love for others, that there may be many times you give up your freedom. Even though you say, I got the right to do that, but because I know this person, maybe their convictions, maybe what they think, maybe I'm not going to do this because I don't want to hurt them. And we're going to see it as time goes by. In fact, as we get a little further in the passage, we get over in verses 13, 14, 15, 16, and all of that, he talks about living in love and how we treat each other. So, may we live in freedom and love as we relate to others, being convinced in our own mind, knowing that one day we're going to stand before our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Boy, it's powerful. Help us to understand it, Lord, because some of these issues that people have dealt with in their lives and maybe even been confused on it and heard certain things. But, Lord, we realize that our freedom must be based on our love one for another. And so may we love one another's tied in with our freedom. May we understand the term strong and weak and understand the freedom of the convictions of all of those things and how they fit. And that, Lord, I just pray that each one of us will be convinced in our own minds on how we choose to live based on things that are not biblical commands, but the freedom that we have. And Lord, for those who are considered the strong, who understand the freedom, may they not show contempt for thus. May they not look down on those who haven't come that way or who haven't got that way yet or have different convictions. And Lord, may we pray, and the same thing for those who are considered the weak, as far as the Bible calls it, who have certain convictions. may they not judge others who may not have those same convictions. Lord, may we live in freedom and love as we relate to one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.